Good afternoon from Berea. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, reports pouring in from all around the National Football League that the Browns are finalizing a deal to make Hugh Jackson the 16th head coach in the history of the Cleveland Browns. The NFL Twitter handle itself reporting Jackson will be the next head coach of the Browns via Mike Silver. And I will tell you, as soon as we are able to confirm that for you 100% inside this building, we will do that for you. But there's a lot of excitement in this building today. There's a lot of buzz in this building today. And I think what this does, and once we have confirmation, which I think at this point is a mere formality, we will be able to say that whatever this regime is, and for all the talk about that nobody would want to come here, the Browns got the guy that most people consider to be the number one coaching candidate. They got the top guy on their list, the one guy that they interviewed multiple times. They prevented him from going to New York. Think about that for a second, where you've got Eli Manning, you've got a division, that's a team,
Odell Beckham,
that you would think could go to the playoffs next year, and they got their guy in Hugh Jackson. And this is a very exciting day, I think, for the Cleveland Browns. Jackson Brown, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the peace signs, make the Browns great. But I love Hugh Jackson. I've been clear. He has been my top choice for this team. And to get a guy in here who has been a head coach before.
I wanted that.
The only other guy who'd been a head coach before that the Browns have fired in
Doug
the last
Marone.
30 years was Eric Mangini.
Oh, Eric Mangini.
That's
yes,
it.
But yes, correct.
You've got Hugh Jackson. You've got a guy who knows this division. You've got a guy who's – I've talked to Amy Trask, and we're going to get her on as soon as we possibly can, the former CEO of the Raiders. We're going to get Chad Ochocinco on here as well to talk about Hugh Jackson as this week progresses. So we're going to look forward to getting that done maybe tomorrow. But this is an exciting time, and what it says is the perception that this organization is bumbling idiots and that this organization can't get anything done. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, seems to be put to bed with the hiring of Hugh Jackson. And I think it's a great thing. And it shows you that around the NFL, and at least in coaching circles, a guy like Hugh Jackson sees what the Browns are doing here,
yep,
likes what the Browns are doing here, and wants to be a part of it. And I think there's a strong link, I've been told already, between Hugh Jackson and my guy Jared Goff, that we could have the coach-quarterback synergy we've been looking for ever.
Yeah,
in Cleveland.
And I think it's a great step in the right direction. You know, the promotion of Sashi Brown was a step in the right direction. The hiring of Paul DePodesta, step in the right direction. And I love Jimmy Haslam's efficiency in getting everything done and getting first to market and allowing the opportunity, because if we would have waited, Hugh Jackson would have taken on multiple more interviews. But because we were first to Hugh Jackson, essentially interviewing him, you know, the Sunday after this past weekend. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Take him.
Like on our Gibbs saying,
working on it right now, guys. Hold on. We're trying to get Adam Schefter up here right now.
Long story short, though, is Mike Pettine was what? Seventh choice after everyone deterred from the Cleveland Browns 2.5 years ago. And now we got the guy we wanted.
I can confirm the Browns are indeed finalizing the deal with Hugh Jackson to make him the 16th head coach of the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are indeed finalizing that deal. I can tell you that from right here in Berea. It's happening, people. They're finalizing it, and as soon as it is official, as soon as that ink has dried, I will let you guys know that here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by the good folks at Liberty Ford. Pete Prisco, he didn't know what was going on, just tweeted me, nice hire. Indeed, it is a nice hire. And Sashi Brown, Jimmy Haslam, D. Haslam, Paul DePodesta, the search firm Korn Ferry, they went out there. They got Jed Hughes. I just talked to him and congratulated him. And certainly he's a guy that played a nice part in this. And you saw the structure of this search be a little bit differently. And they did a great job, I think, getting their man. And that was Hugh. And you know for me, from a long time ago, this is what I want to get. Here's Adam Schefter with the latest.
Adam, what more can you tell us about the situation with the Browns?
Well, David, Jim, Adam, here's the situation as we stand right now. The Browns are finalizing that deal with Hugh Jackson. He looks like he's going to become the next Cleveland Browns head coach. The rush here was the fact that he was supposed to fly to New York today to interview with the New York Giants. The Browns knew that. They also knew the 49ers had some level of interest. So before the 49ers could step in, before he could fly to New York, Cleveland wanted to take Hugh Jackson off the market. They're going to get a deal done, And it looks like Hugh Jackson is going to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns because they are trying to wrap it up as we speak officially so they could introduce him as the next head coach. And, of course, that will set off a whole new wave of dominoes elsewhere around the league. It will leave the 49ers searching for a coach. It will leave the Giants continuing their search on the candidates that they have. The Philadelphia Eagles are in meetings. And, again, it shakes up the coaching board, but Hugh Jackson is now ticketed to head to Cleveland as the Browns' next head coach.
Tell you what, Hugh Jackson not afraid of difficult situations. Of course, he took over with the Raiders. That didn't work out, sort of a dysfunctional situation there. Things have not gone smoothly for the Browns, as we know, down through the years. Hugh Jackson going to be the head coach. We're hearing right now of the
There it is. That's Adam Schefter with the latest. And again, I can tell you that the Browns are indeed finalizing the deal to make Hugh Jackson the 16th head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And I got to say, this is a great referendum on the direction that this organization has taken. The year that Jimmy Haslam put on his tour of the best organizations in sports that led him to this structure and this group was strong enough and compelling enough to a guy that is a quote-unquote traditional football guy in Hugh Jackson that he wanted to come here and be a part of it. And I think this has got to be a nice feather in the cap of Sashi Brown to say, look, this is not traditional. People were up in arms. How are we ever going to get a coach with Sashi Brown? Well, you got your guy. I told you all along, Sashi Brown, very talented. And when he gets in a room with people, I think he's going to be very effective. And right now, today, and now it needs to play out and they need to win, but you have to be excited, I think, as a Cleveland Browns fan about what's happening.
And you know what I think personally and why this was probably so attractive to Hugh Jackson is because, you know, Jimmy Haslam's decisiveness to fire Mike Pettine-Ray Farmer, to promote Sashi Brown, to bring in Paul DePodesta, Jed Hughes, and bring in the consulting firm to help on this search, I think this was a long time in the making. So what it allowed them to do when they kind of knew in the back of their heads as the season was probably concluding, it allowed them to set the parameters for what the new structure is going to be and the parameters that the head coach is going to have to fit into.
Yes.
All you needed to find was a coach, a football guy, to fit inside and know what field of play he is within. And once he wrapped that coach wrapped his head around those parameters and took his ego out of the way and actually took some of the accountability associated with structuring a 53-man roster, structuring, you know, a 90-man roster, structuring, you know, his draft board, so on and so forth, and having to be held accountable to it, which, as we see around the league, leads to some coaches' demise, as it did Chip Kelly and Mike Holmgren at times as well. I really think, as you pointed out, there should be some elation that you're getting a football guy and you're getting someone, as I've always said, get someone that can build a team and be a leader of men that allows you to compete in your division. That's the best way, the most streamlined process to hold up that Vince Lombardi trophy is to win your division, because you guarantee your spot in the tournament. Not backing your way in via wild card, which I've done before, but winning that division and being on top of this division, which should mean a lot to the Cleveland Browns because of who makes up the AFC North, the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Steelers.
It is. That's what you've got to do, and this is a guy who knows that division very well. He knows the Bengals. Not only are you strengthening your team, you are weakening someone in your division with the hire of Hugh Jackson. Ian Rappaport saying the Browns get their number one target. I am very excited about this. I'm sure it can come through. I've been excited since we named put Sashi in charge. And what a difference a week and a half makes. In 10 days from the announcement of Sashi Brown as the vice president of football operations and the announcement of this coaching search, 10 days later, the Cleveland Browns have got the guy that they identified to be the top coaching candidate in this year's crop in Hugh Jackson, and they got him.
And you're absolutely right, and Jimmy Haslam and his team should be commended for that. But for me personally, it's like now that this is done, and I've asked this question to every outside perspective as we talked to, you know, Mick yesterday, as we talked to Jeff Hobson about Hugh, it's what's this staff going to look like? Because as important as Hugh Jackson is going to be as the head coach, and I've said time and time again, felt a great bond with Marty Schottenheimer, didn't feel a great bond with Norv Turner, but it was the men that the head coach can accumulate that truly builds the bond between player and coach. Because you spend so much more time with your coordinators, with your position coaches. And I believe, because he has been a former head coach and was fairly successful at 8-8 out there with Oakland and knows this division very well, that I would not be surprised and understanding what's ahead for the Cleveland Browns, that not only is Hugh Jackson up for this challenge, but he's going to find other leaders of men and great football minds that are also in that same boat and are up for this challenge and not just comfortable, you know, buying time with wherever they're at right now.
I agree with that, and that's another reason why we're the second ones in. That's another good thing for the Browns. They are going to have the other staffs won't be set, so Hugh Jackson, I think, will have an opportunity here to kind of get in ahead of the game. Only Adam Gase has been named prior to Hugh Jackson, so I think that that's good for the Browns as well. I just got a note from some of the people around the league that are very excited, NFL insiders who are very excited for the Browns and excited for what's happening and to see this team get their guy. I was just told that it wasn't close that Hugh Jackson was the number one guy for the Cleveland Browns, and they got him. They did what they had to do and to get their guy, and I think this is something with the Browns doing it right. They did it the right way. I think Jed Hughes coming in was big. Change of search. And you know what it shows? It shows that for an organization, and people I know, Jimmy Haslam, he took all the blame, but he's thrown into something new. And in 3 years, it hasn't gone the way he wanted. So what did he do? He's done everything he can to be more educated and become better. And at least this time around, his process clearly was better.
Yep.
His presentation was clearly better. The appeal, the value proposition to the head coach was better. And he got his guy. That's a sign of progress. Now the time comes. Find the top talent evaluator. Fill out that staff. Get to the draft, make some decisions on personnel, because I think there are going to be some serious decisions that are made. I imagine Hugh Jackson has a very strong opinion one way or the other about Johnny Manziel. And then go forward and let's win football
games. The one other thing that I pointed out to you before we jumped on air was a lot of the reason why people look down on the Cleveland Browns job is, A, because it's the Browns. They've been in a losing franchise. You know, Jimmy Haslam necessarily, in some people's eyes, didn't know what he was doing, you know, as an NFL owner and is learning the process. But as he revamped that process and as we've learned more, you know, via, you know, you, Nathan, laying out the new processes with Paul DePodesta and Sashi Brown and how they're going to benefit the Cleveland Browns, that Hugh Jackson was our number one priority, and Hugh Jackson committed to the Cleveland Browns under the parameters that are probably going to be more stringent than any other job.
Yes.
Meaning Sashi Brown's going to have the power. Paul DePodesta is going to have the process, which allows Hugh Jackson to focus on being a football coach, right? Not managing the roster, not managing the 53, who's up, who's all those things are for someone else. So he's going to, I mean, he took this job second off the board, only to the Miami Dolphins, as you said, with Adam Gase. And he's going to work on a stricter basis than any other of the five or six jobs that are still out there. And yet he made us a priority as much as we made him a priority.
Yes,
he did. So that's something to be said about this job.
He took this job before going and talking to the New York Giants. The value proposition that was laid out was compelling enough for Hugh Jackson to be here before he even went to the New York Giants. And that is a huge thing. Can't be overstated. And of course, you've got a situation where the Browns got their guy. That perception is reality. And if the Browns went through another search where it seemed that this was their guy and then they didn't get him and they couldn't do it, this is their guy. And reports come in, players are very excited, people are fired up. He's an offensive genius. The number of people that have had career years under Hugh Jackson is exponential. I talked to Chad Ochocinco about Hugh, said that he is absolutely the right guy to come here. I talked to people in the Cincinnati organization who said the only job they didn't want him to take was this Cleveland Browns job because they liked the Browns being their doormat. Well, hopefully Hugh Jackson will make that no longer be the case.
Yeah.
This is an exciting time.
It is an exciting time.
It's, as we said, perception's reality. I think with Sashi and that team, Paul DePodesta, and clearly that changed the perception to the coaching candidates because you got your guy, and now it changes the perception to the league that, hey, maybe the Browns are building something here, and now it comes down to, and there's a lot of work in. This is not going to be an overnight success.
No.
The Browns got their guy, which is great, and they've got their system in place. It's going to take time for this vision to bear fruit, but I believe they are certainly on that path to success.
Yeah.
And I think this is an exciting time for your Browns.
Yeah, I agree. And we were attractive enough to an individual that was a hot commodity on many other teams' coaching search. And that cannot be said having to settle in other coaching searches here in Cleveland.
No. And it is – this is good. This is exciting. This is a guy he's coached. I wanted a guy who coached in the league. I mean, I got fired up yesterday. Mick Mixon can talk. He can sell you anything.
Right.
But, and I was fired up. But this is 8-8 with the Raiders. It was their best record in 7 years at that point. They were tied for first in the AFC West. And then they have Al Davis passes away, and he gets a raw deal and thrown out of there. This is a guy who absolutely can do it, and I love that he's had that experience. He's going to be able to learn from that experience, and I think he's going to have an opportunity to be really, 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 really successful here. And I like that. I like the plan that's in place, and it's exciting. Again, as soon as we are able to officially confirm this for you, we will confirm this for you right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But I can tell you with confirmation that the finalizing of this deal is happening as we speak.
Wikipedia has already changed it.
Wikipedia is there.
They're on their game.
They're ready to go. All right, we'll be back with more on this breaking news edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hit up the phones. What do you think? Are you guys as fired up as we are? It's nice to get to be fired up, and I think people are going to be with me as opposed to telling me that I'm a Kool-Aid drinking moron. Today is a good day. Oh, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. An exciting day here in Cleveland. It sounds like the Browns have gotten their man. They are finalizing the deal to make Hugh Jackson the 16th head coach in the history of the Cleveland Browns, and hopefully one that will be here for a long, long, long time. I am very excited about it, and hopefully all of you are too. This is something that should be exciting for a day. We can then debate where the Browns are and all that later, but today I think is a day to be excited. Your reaction to this news about Hugh Jackson. Mike Silver, by the way, saying that the Browns made Hugh feel like he was wanted. They made him feel comfortable, and he's excited about this opportunity. Obviously, we're hopefully going to have the final thing today, and then we'll get Hugh talking to the media, and also a tip of the cap to Sasha Brown and the job that he did in putting this all together. People are reporting that he apparently was very well received by every candidate around the league for his role in these interviews.
And what we would hope here in Cleveland is, while we didn't have many victories on the football field in 2015, let's just hope that this, in some case, is forcing other teams to stumble in regards to their coaching search. You know, the fact that, you know, let the Cleveland Browns be a part of the news and winning in some way, shape, and form in 2016, which it has become. So it's like we've got in many people's eyes, and as you said, you know, via Twitter, all the Nationals are saying that it's a great hire. So in some cases, we've got our first victory in 2016.
It seems like it, right? And at this point, we'll take him any way that we can get him. So I think it is good. He's a former head coach. He knows this division and what it takes to win in this division. And he also has spent basically years now scheming how to beat two of the teams that the Browns need to beat, the Steelers and the Ravens.
That's the biggest factor.
And he'll know that offense of the Bengals intimately well.
Correct. And I'm sure you don't think that he bounced ideas off of Paul Gunther so that we're going to know what that defense does, practicing against it every day for the last how many years?
Of course.
Yeah, so a very, very big advantage. And I want to know, you know, it's a great topic, and it's something that as we get into this, as we have opportunities to talk to Sasha Brown and Jimmy Haslam in passing, and of course Hugh Jackson, you know, that's the picking of the brain and how that weighed into maybe their decision. You know, his knowledge of the AFC North and the Browns' legitimacy in the National Football League starts in the division. You know, it starts versus those fan bases. It starts versus those teams in our division that we see twice a year.
It certainly does, and he knows. I think this is a very, very good thing for the Browns. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's get your reaction. 216-578-0850. Ellis in Orlando. Ellis.
Gentlemen, it feels like Christmas in January, man.
It feels good.
That's my late Christmas gift. I absolutely love the move. I think this hiring, though, is different than all the other ones. The other ones, it's like we got whoever was left. I'm really impressed by Haslam doing whatever it took to get his man and to get the job done. I think Hugh Jackson has something to prove from all the other teams that let him go. And now what we need to do is give him time, give him some weapons, give him some support, and most of all, give him prayers. Because at the end of the day, the Cavs may be rolling, but this is a Cleveland Browns town. And a lot of these kids have never experienced the insanity of playoff football. So listen, I know I'm getting ahead of the gun. Let's take one step at a time, but good day for the Browns, and go Browns, man. God bless.
Go Browns. Thank you very much. It certainly is very, very exciting, and I think you make a good point. You got to bring the weapons. I'll tell you, I think I see a lot of Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, and exactly what he had in Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard. From a raw talent standpoint, those guys are both regarded higher.
Yes.
But he knows how to use that complement of having the runner and having the pass catcher and using them together. He's experienced with that, and I think he can get the best out of him. He's gotten the best out of running backs. He's been a running backs coach before. He's gotten the best out of offensive players, really, at all the skill positions.
What's intriguing to me, though, and I said that Gary Barnidge might not have a better season than he had this year, which he may or may not, but you look at the season that Tyler Eifert had in Cincinnati, and if you don't think that Gary Barnidge was – he might not go for 1,000 yards again in his career, but I promise you Gary will go close to 10 touchdowns in one of the three seasons he has left in his new contract at the Cleveland Browns, because he will be a target down in the red zone the same way Tyler Eifert was a target in the red zone for the Bengals.
It is very, 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 very good. Let's go to John Onicell. John, welcome.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. We're great.
Man, I got to be honest. I just had to leave the office because I've got coworkers that are so mad at me. They're Bengals fans, and I just let them have it. And it
Isn't that a good feeling?
Oh, man, it feels awesome because, you know, they keep giving me the playoff stat, and I can't stand it. But I point out that we've won one since then. But they've won more than us, and they've beat the crap out of us, and I'm tired of it, so I hope this changes it. But my question is, did DeFilippo work with Hugh Jackson in Oakland, and is he a possibility to stay on?
They did not overlap in Oakland. They were not there at the same time. Is it possible that he stays? Yeah, it's possible. I'm pretty sure that Hugh Jackson is going to want to run his offense, though. So we'll see what happens there. I love Flip. We know that. I am an unabashed Flip supporter, and I certainly hope that he can get this going. And if there's a role for John DeFilippo here, great. If not, then John DeFilippo, you know, I think is going to go on to great things in the National Football League. Hugh Jackson, we'll find out. I think what's more important right now, what I want to see is who our defensive coordinator is. Are we running a 4-3, a 3-4,
who your linebacker coach is?
Matt Wilhelm throwing his name in the hat in case Hugh Jackson is listening into this. So I think those things are going to be important, who we get in for him from on a talent standpoint. And let me ask you, as a player, okay, you're a guy who, you're an Alex Mack right now. You're a Mitchell Schwartz. You're a Travis Benjamin. Does this matter?
Yes.
This matters.
And the reason why I say that is because Marty Schottenheimer was a defensive player, was a defensive head coach. And I had my greatest bond in the National Football League with Marty Schottenheimer as a coach. Okay? Norv Turner was then hired. And in the process, who interviewed for that job in San Diego? Here's the names. The three that I can recall that I would have been happy taking all three at that time. Found out later about another. Rex Ryan interviewed for that job.
Okay.
Ron Rivera interviewed for that job. Mike Singletary interviewed for that job.
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Two of the three. No. Right? Those are the guys that I was in favor of because I was a defensive guy. Obviously, we go offense. You know, some of the staff is retained there in San Diego. Some of it is new. The Wade Phillips, a great addition. You know, by Marty, that was retained by Norv Turner, and the bond had been built. And that's what, you know, I kind of talked about Hugh's ability to get ahead of the market and go get the pick of the litter on those guys, because there are guys at positions that are waiting, you know, waiting for the right job.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But then there are also men, you know, names that we haven't even discussed or names that are under the radar that are looking for a challenge in coaching, both young and old. The up-and-comer or the guy that's been there and done that, but they're just kind of status quo at whatever franchise they're at. They're very comfortable, and they're looking for that next challenge. Hugh Jackson wouldn't take the Cleveland Browns job if he wasn't up for a challenge.
Clearly.
And I would be a fool to think that anybody that Hugh Jackson's going to go out and recruit here to Cleveland to come be a coach is not of the mindset that they're up for a challenge to be a part of something very special here in Cleveland in years to come.
You have an opportunity to be huge, huge, you know, to really turn it around here and you have an opportunity to become a legend. And that's what Hugh Jackson, I'm sure he's excited about that challenge. We are going to try to get Chad Ochocinco on the show here today because I think one of the great things that Hugh Jackson is going to have an opportunity to do is really reach and connect with Josh Gordon. Now, the reports are going around that it sounds like Hugh is not on board with Johnny Manziel. That remains to be seen. But we'll speculate on Josh Gordon because he's a receiver. He's worked with receivers. And I think that that will be a very good thing going forward. And I think it is. I think this is going to change the way that some free agents look at coming here. And it's going to change the way that our free agents look at staying here.
I agree.
Especially on the offensive side.
And I think as a player on the offensive side of the football, as you're enjoying your time away, whether it be here in Cleveland or wherever it is that you reside in the offseason, you are very much in tune to your phone. You're very much in tune to what's coming out of Berea if you're on the cusp, either under contract or not. Because this guy is going to have a big hand in your life professionally for at minimum the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
So you're very in tune to it. And I think you, if I'm on my way out or my mind was on the way out and there's some guys that are obviously, and strictly just because they're unrestricted free agents, you're kind of like you turn to the side and you have one ear or eye over on enjoying your offseason and being under contract technically and expiring contract with the Cleveland Browns. But the other ear and the other eye are very much in tune to every word coming out of his mouth and understanding from Jimmy Haslam on down, because we hope there's going to be comment coming from him. Why Hugh? No, more word about the process, hearing from Sashi Brown, you know, the introduction of Paul DePodesta formally in front of us. You're going to be very in tune to what's going on. And if it can be sold by them to you, you now have a shift mentally in wanting to come back here and being a part of the rebuild here in Cleveland.
Absolutely, you do. And here's a tweet that I like a lot. Ross Tucker, you know, played former Cleveland Brown and NFL analyst, said, Hugh Jackson, if I was an owner, Hugh Jackson would have been my number one target as a head coach. And do you know who responded to that tweet and said, agreed, ! I'm going to tell you. Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle and team captain of the Cincinnati Bengals.
There it is.
That, to me, is that as a Browns fan.
Let's get Hobson on and see how he feels today.
Exciting. And here's what Michael Silver just had to say. You think the Browns are excited? Tremont Williams texted me just after the news of Hugh's hiring broke, saying he had a gut feeling he'd be hired, and he is fired up.
It's good.
Let's go.
Everything we just talked about.
Yes. Let's go. All right. When we come back, we will go ahead and get to the phones, 216-578-0850. Also, I'm told, just talk to him, Chad Ochocinco will join us here on today's show. I'll finalize that time. Again, the Browns finalizing the deal to make Hugh Jackson the 16th head coach of this franchise. That's happening right now, and we will see where it goes from here. But that is the latest in Berea. We are back. The Browns finalizing the deal to make Hugh Jackson the head coach of this team. Jimmy Haslam, D. Haslam, Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, they got their man, the number one guy on the Browns coaching search board. They've got him. He will be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Mike Silver reporting that Bengals coach Marvin Lewis approached Hugh Jackson with a last-ditch proposal to keep him in Cincy with a succession plan in place. Said they are very close, and they didn't do it. Hugh was scheduled to fly to New Jersey this evening for a meeting with the Giants. The Browns made sure he did not get on that plane.
Boom!
So I think that it's fantastic for the Cleveland Browns, obviously, that they've gotten their guy. And let's see how it works out now. The business of winning comes to the forefront. But when you, I don't know if you watched the video, the interview that Mike Silver did with Hugh Jackson that ran this weekend on NFL Network. When asked about Marvin Lewis, after he was with the Raiders, that situation ended so badly. Marvin Lewis created a job for him that was a huge step down from being a head coach in the NFL. When he was asked about him, he broke down in tears with Mike Silver, talking about the loyalty he felt to Marvin Lewis. So when you couple that with that story and know that he came here to lead this football team, he's obviously very excited about it, and the Browns did a tremendous job laying out the value proposition in taking this job and working with Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta.
Absolutely. And the one thing, and again, this is I don't see it as negative. This is just coming from, you know, a head coach who's leaving that type of situation in Cincinnati with that offer on the table and a succession plan potentially being created for him there at a franchise that's been to the playoffs in the five last seasons, you know what I mean, beyond Marvin Lewis. Do you believe that in the past history to have, you know what, Shurmur 2-and-done, Chudzinski 1-and-done, Pettine 2-and-done, that conversation with Sashi Brown in place and Paul DePodesta and reviewing the processes and using, you know, a analytical approach to what we're doing that's going to be different from other places, that timing and the time that it would take, as you've mentioned multiple times since that promotion, the time that it would take here in Cleveland, and that he would be given that time.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of it, and I know that had to be a part of it. I think he was looking for stability, and this is something that could be. Jay Crawford, who has been harsh.
Yes,
he's a Cleveland guy, and he has been harsh on the Browns of late, tweeting out today, "I am thrilled with the news. The Browns have hired Hugh Jackson. Let the turnaround begin. Hashtag they got this one right."
We have a bunch of tweets coming in from fans as well, guys.
All right, go ahead. Hit a couple of those, and we'll get on the phones as well.
Yeah, definitely. At Browns underscore daily, our good friend Weimer 19. January 1963, Paul Brown is fired. Now Hugh is taken from the Bengals to coach the Browns. Can this unravel the curse
of the Bambino?
Johnny Ohio, best part of this hiring is the Bengals lost their OC. How great is that? Browns meet the end zone via Hugh. Let's see.
Don't be surprised if this is not the last Bengals coach that comes over to Cleveland that follows you.
David Whitman, how do you think this affects the mindset of our free agents? Thomas Mack, et cetera, have all got to be excited. What do you guys think?
I would be, you know, and that's where I said, while, you know, and I'm not saying if Joe Thomas is back in Wisconsin, which I don't need to be true. If Alex Mack went back to Cal, who knows, right? They're very much in tune to what's going on in Cleveland. They're very much in tune to the potential press conference that Hugh Jackson's going to have to talk about what he's going to be doing here. And that I would not be surprised that if as early as tonight and tomorrow, that if Hugh Jackson does not request the contact information from at least a dozen football players under contract or potentially, you know, free agents of this upcoming free agent period, that if he's not contacting them directly to introduce himself, to talk shop for 5 to 10 minutes, and let him personally convey his thoughts about 2016 and beyond.
And it's a small fraternity, especially you look at Andrew Whitworth and a guy like Joe Thomas. They're going to talk. Pro Bowl left tackles, they'll be in Hawaii together. You're going to get a lot of those Bengal guys that are in Hawaii talking with some of the Browns that are going to be in Hawaii. Alex Mack will be there. Gary Barnage, I imagine, will end up being there well when it's all said and done. So I think it's good. And it's an exciting thing, and I think what you talked about from a player's perception, it immediately changes the perception for potential free agents and our pending free agents, I think, about what this organization is, and I think that that's important. I think that's a good thing. Will in Evansville, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's such a good day to be a Browns fan. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am. I mean, when you take a look at what Hugh Jackson did with Cincinnati's offense, what he did with pretty much a middle-of-the-road average quarterback in Andy Dalton, it's amazing what he did with that. And I think it's going to take some time, obviously, and we need to be patient. But I think he can turn this thing around and turn this offense into a real NFL offense that can compete, at least in the playoffs, down the road.
And has proven to be successful in this division, which I think is critical. The Browns need to find a way to succeed in the AFC North before they can worry about succeeding in the rest of the league. And by the way, if you do succeed in this division, chances are you will succeed in the NFL at large.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why, you know, as you say that about this division, you know, you look at Baltimore obviously having a down year, but Pittsburgh and their ability to score points, Cincinnati and their ability to score points. Hugh Jackson was a big reason and the catalyst for why Cincinnati got as good as it did, as well as accumulating talent and finally having it paying off all at the same time, which I think it did this year for the first time in a long time. But then the focus for me immediately shifts to the defense, to go get the right defensive mind to come in here and fix the defense, because I believe if we can add weapons around whoever's going to play quarterback with the Crow and the Duke, and we retain some of, you know, majority of the offensive line, whether Alex Mack goes and we retain, you know, Schwartz and Thomas stay here, who knows, right? We're going to be able to score on offense. Hugh Jackson's going to have us scoring better
touchdowns on
offense, scoring touchdowns on offense, right? We need a defense that can not stop but slow down what Pittsburgh does. We need a defense that doesn't stop but slows down what the Bengals do. Not in spurts, but for a game. You know, and I think there's no one better that knows that than Hugh Jackson, someone who's been in this division for the last 4 years.
In the red zone last year, the Cleveland Browns scored 18 touchdowns. That was the second lowest total in the NFL, ahead of only the San Francisco 49ers. In the red zone, the Cincinnati Bengals scored 38 touchdowns. Their touchdown percentage was 65.5%. The Browns at 38%. They did that, 38 touchdowns, third in the NFL, behind only Carolina and New England, tied with Arizona. He is good at that. That is what we need. We need to score touchdowns. Jim in Cleveland, welcome.
Time caller.
Oh, great, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, just I'm excited. I've never called a show before, but boy, this is great. I mean, Hugh Jackson, he's been a former head coach. He knows our division, and he's just a guy that we need. He's not our eighth pick. He's not our fifth pick. You know, he's the guy we wanted. So that's what makes it exciting, I think. And then, hey, I had a couple questions too, real quick. Do you think he'll have a big hand in picking a quarterback if we do pick a quarterback?
Do I think Hugh will?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think Hugh will have huge input onto whoever the quarterback is. If they draft one, if Hugh thinks, hey, I can do it with RG3, I can make Colin Kaepernick great. There are going to be a lot of options at quarterback for this Cleveland Browns football team, and I think Hugh Jackson is going to have a lot of input on what happens there.
I do too, and especially,
and he should.
And especially with, you know, no knock against him, but, you know, Sashi Brown is newly promoted and holds a position of power. So if you don't believe that Sashi Brown's going to lean on the smart individuals around him to collectively make the best decision for the Cleveland Browns, i.e. where Paul DePodesta comes in on efficiency, right, and analytics, Hugh Jackson's going to have a huge say in both his ability to play with what kind of quarterback and his past history and his ability to groom a young quarterback if, in fact, we take one with that second pick.
Indeed. Indeed. And I think when you look at the structure that was laid out, they were going to get their head coach, and then that head coach was going to be a part of the process to bring in the top talent evaluator. Hugh Jackson knows that quarterback is the most important position in the NFL. He is going to bring in a top talent evaluator that views the quarterback position, I would imagine, in the same way that he does. Because that's where you've got to be cohesive, on the quarterback. And once you build that, then you have an opportunity. And the Browns, through the draft, with free agent money, they're going to have the opportunity to kind of craft whatever quarterback plan it is they want, and Hugh's going to be able to get his guy. And I think that was part of the appeal to this, too. I really do. I think that you look at the guys that are out there, and I would bet that Hugh is going to be much more a Goff guy than a Lynch guy. I could be completely wrong. But knowing the success he's had with Andy Dalton and the fact that he likes Carson Palmer, he likes pocket passers.
Yep.
He likes guys who use their footwork to buy time and deliver the football in the pocket, and that's what he does. And when you look at Cincinnati, they did a good job of developing their offensive talent. The only first-rounder that they trot out there, too, A.J. Green – and Eifert. And it wasn't until Hugh Jackson was the offense coordinator that Eifert actually blossomed.
Right.
But Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Bernard Hill, second round and later. So you can get that talent. And he's made guys all over have the best years of their career under him. Darius Hayward-Bayes, 1,000-yard season. You remember that? Seems like
I do.
I was with Oakland under Hugh Jackson. So I think this is a guy that is very, very capable of putting together a good offense. And I'm excited about it. To be perfectly honest, all I want are victories. But if you had a team that was 8-8, let's call it, and you were top three defense and a bottom three offense, or you were a team that was 8-8 that was a top three offense and a bottom three defense, give me that offensive team every time. That's the way I like to watch football. I know maybe as a defensive player, I thought maybe you'd say
that's
different.
That's today's NFL.
Yeah, let's score the football. Let's score the football. Mike Silver saying, as Hugh, I said all along, Hugh was not weighing offers. He was not leveraging anyone. He was waiting for an owner to tell him, you're my guy, and that, folks, is what Jimmy Haslam and the Browns did. They said, you, Hugh Jackson, are my guy. All right. We'll come back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Welcome back to a breaking news edition. The Browns finalizing the deal with Hugh Jackson. We will have Chad Johnson, who played with Hugh Jackson in Cincinnati, at 2 o'clock.
Is it Johnson or Ocho Cinco?
It's Johnson again.
Johnson again. Okay.
Yes.
Just so
we will
know.
Also have Peter King at 2:30. To give some national perspective on what's happened here, let's go back to the phones, though, and get your reaction. 216-578-0850, Lewis in Shaker Heights. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm excited, but I'm not sold. I need to see two things happen. I need to see, and of course, it's after the draft. I need to see a legit playmaker drafted, either quarterback from Cal or the receiver from Southern Miss? That's number one. Number
Ole
two,
Miss. Ole Miss. Laquan Treadwell.
Ole Miss. That's right. Ole Miss. I'm sorry. Ole Miss. Number two, I need to see him to develop our superstar, Flash Gordon. If you can get that receiver from Southern Miss and put him alongside Flash Gordon, oh my goodness, that's the greatest show on dirt.
Absolutely.
And Lake Erie. You don't need analytics to see that. Come on now. I mean, that's what I need to see to happen.
Yes, we need to. I agree. We need to get playmakers. And I think that when you bring in a guy like Hugh Jackson, I think he becomes his offense becomes very attractive to a free agent like Alshon Jeffrey. I think his offense, knowing the success he had, I think it makes this a destination for players on offense that it wasn't before. If you have a compelling quarterback proposition, and I believe the Browns are going to go right out and address that.
I agree. And if you look immediately to Cincinnati and Andy Dalton's ability to get really good was his ability to distribute the football to his good players. You look at the year Marvin Jones had this year. Sanu took a little bit of a step back, but A.J. Green was still your guy, and Tyler Eifert's in the Pro Bowl. You know, so you had production out of three of your four receivers at a high level. What Marvin Jones finished with 56-plus receptions. So, I mean, it was significant. I mean, that would finish, you know, third on this team, fourth on this team.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Somebody just told me that the Steelers, these are the teams he listed as building a team first before they got a quarterback. The Steelers, the Ravens.
A team. Big Ben is that team, and we'll see that this weekend if he doesn't play.
And when did the Ravens get good?
When they got Flacco.
Right, quarterback. And then he listed Green Bay as building a team. They had Favre, who then went to Aaron Rodgers.
Who is this?
One of our listeners, the great listener, Greg. I enjoy his commentary. But that's, you got to have a quarterback in the National Football League. Period. Who's one of the best receivers in the league? DeAndre Hopkins. Who's the best defensive player in the league? J.J. Watt.
They've got a playmaker.
Just enjoy this. Are you serious? Like, give me a look. Come on, people.
Well, who are we gonna take? We got 4 months to figure it out.
4 months.
We don't even have a GM in place yet.
A top talent evaluator.
Yeah. Okay. Well, round it off. Whatever it means.
A top talent evaluator.
Yeah.
Yes.
More in the Twitter mailbag, guys. Tony Colombi. What I'm excited about is they actually have someone hired right now. They didn't get rejected four times first. What does that say, do you guys think?
You're happy that what? That we've got them under contract now?
That they were
we offered
hired
a job and someone took it.
Yeah, I think they didn't get rejected four times. That's what he's saying.
I think that this is a big day for the Browns. It's a big day for the perception. It is a big day for this organization because they got their guy. And so all the fans have to be excited about it. They have to say, okay, they went out. This is who they identified through this process, which was thorough. They did it, and they've got him. So it is, to me, a very exciting thing. I think it's – and I, as you talked about, player perception is going to be important. I like it. I like it a lot.
Ted Rosenthal tweets at the show. You can tweet us at Browns_daily. Thanks once again to Pac-Man and Mr. Perfect for making our guy available this early. Our good friend G.I. George.
That is a great thank you.
Yeah, it is a good thank you.
A very good thank you.
Thank you.
G.I. George, Jimmy Haslam was my new non-sexual man crush. Sorry, Gibbs. Haslam for president. RSB97, tell the Ravens and Steelers and Bengals that the party is officially over. Court, Brennan Huff tweets at us. Way to go, Jimmy. Got his man. Hugh, now set the tone and expectation to win now. Johnny Ohio tweets at us. Getting their guy in Hugh says a lot about Sashi Brown's ability to present the team as a professional organization with a future.
Yes, Sashi Brown. I told people, when you get in the room with Sashi Brown, you are going to be happy with this. And here's some more from Andrew Whitworth talking about Hugh Jackson. Remind me real quickly, what are the two things that we said were the most important for the new head coach of the Browns?
Leader of men was one, right? What was the second?
Second one was they had to just buy into the approach and be
collaborative. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And buy in and be collaborative with the parameters with which he's going to play in.
Okay, Amy Trask just said that he is the most collaborative coach that she ever worked with the Oakland Raiders. And here's what Andrew Whitworth, the Pro Bowl left tackle and captain of the Cincinnati Bengals, said via text to Albert Breer. First sentence, a leader of men, !! He gets leadership and is not afraid to push his best players to develop into leaders for their team. He will challenge every player to take ownership of their effort and performance each day. Being good will never be acceptable to him. He earned and deserved this opportunity. Not to mention, the only negative thing I've ever heard about Hugh Jackson in Oakland was the Carson Palmer trade. Maybe he gave up too much, maybe not. But does anyone want to say that was a bad trade now? If he had gotten to stay and have Carson Palmer for an entire offseason, no telling where the Raiders are now. Carson Palmer's play has made him look pretty smart. This was the one, though. A leader of men, and this is something we'll talk with Chad Johnson about, and he says this. He will push these guys, and I think that was something. The best players here, he will push his best players to develop into leaders for their team. That is something that the Cleveland Browns need critically.
And what are two things all season long and all offseason long? I say once training camp started is the players were not being pushed via training camp, that country club atmosphere with Mike Pettine, right? And we saw with the number of days off after losses throughout the season as well. We'll throw that out there. That's fine. And then also, as something that I talked about when Johnny Manziel would do something or something happened in a football game, who was that one guy that everybody's scared of in the locker room when he speaks? Because when he speaks, it's so profound. And you don't need it from the head coach. You'll roll your eyes at your head coach, okay?
Right.
Because you always hear it from your head coach. But who's that guy that's, you know, the that can play the bad guy in the locker room because he's got the money, he's got the success, he's proved it, he does it on the football field, and he's done it for a very long time, that nobody wants to have him get that stare or have that talk or have his words, you know, kind of focused in your direction. You don't want to be on that other end. And this team didn't have that.
And they need to have that, and that's something that we talked about was huge and that he can hopefully bring to this team. He's done it everywhere. And one guy who can comment on that with firsthand experience is, of course, Chad Johnson. Played with Hugh Jackson in Cincinnati. And we're going to take a break. We're going to start off our second hour on this breaking news edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, with Chad Johnson here on ESPN 850 WKNR.